I like eagles. I don't pay much attention to sparrows. They're all over the place, and sometimes they're a nuisance. But the Lord's eyes on even the sparrows. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to go to the last part of Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. As we'll begin reading, you'll recognize the account as we read this morning, beginning in verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 is where we begin. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. As we read, maybe I should say, as I read and as I have read the scriptures, I would read, you know, you read the Old Testament and then you read in the New Testament. You read of David being in Jerusalem. That's the Old Testament. And then you read of Christ being in Jerusalem. That's the New Testament. And for some reason, when I would read these passages, I never placed them at the same place. Now, the place may have looked different, but it was still the same place. Jerusalem in the Old Testament was Jerusalem in the New Testament. And it was just a different time when, of course, when David was there and Christ was there. And here we read of Jericho. And when we think of Jericho, we think of the walls going down in Jericho when the people had crossed over Jordan into the promised land. And in Joshua's day, the Lord brought down the walls and Jericho was defeated. The people were able to take the land. Here, the Lord breaks down the walls of the sick. He brings down the walls of Satan. He brings down the walls, the same Jericho. And the Lord's still working in this place, in the land that he had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This land now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just walking there, but he is working there. And we see the Lord continuing to work in the midst of the people. And here we have the giving of sight to this individual by the name of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Very few of the individuals whom the Lord cures are mentioned by name. They're mentioned at times by a centurion or by a woman from Syrophoenicia or the woman with the issue of blood. But there are a few that are mentioned. Jairus, one. Lazarus, another. Malchus, another. These are names of individuals whom the Lord cures or performs a miracle for them, but not all of them are mentioned by name. Bartimaeus is. The name Bartimaeus is just simply the son of Timaeus. If you see here, the son of Timaeus is just, you add the bar and now you have the son of. And so that's the way that it works. But anyway, nothing else is said about them other than their name mentioned here, recorded for us to have their name, perhaps to identify with them in a sense. Some have said that this blind Bartimaeus meant that he was a son, the blind man, the son of a blind man, perhaps. But we don't know. We accept again what or look at what others write and attempt to apply, but that is not scripture, so there's no need to waste too much time on it. But we're looking this morning, we're not going to look so much at Bartimaeus this morning. We're going to look at Bartimaeus tonight. This morning we want to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. With the message entitled, The Divine Request. There's a request that the Lord gives to the people, to Bartimaeus. He gives a request. He makes a request to him. Not so much for himself, but for Bartimaeus. And we'll look at that as we come to it. This morning we look here at this message simply entitled, The Divine Request. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. And Father, we, as we're reminded this morning, even in this this hymn, Lord, that was played concerning your eye, Lord, being on a sparrow. And Father, you tell us in your word that we're so much better than the sparrows. And Lord, you care for every need. And we thank you this morning, Lord, that we can rest upon that promise that you care for us, Lord, that you, Lord, desire again to, Lord, meet our needs, and you have already met our needs, Lord, and in many different ways. Father, I pray that we would not take that for granted. This morning, Lord, we pray that you would bless your word and use your word, Father, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to draw us closer to you, Father, to magnify your name, to glorify your name, Lord, because you're worthy of praise and honor and glory. We ask that you'd bless now this time. Bless your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin here this morning. We're going to get right into the messages. We're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in this message simply entitled, The Divine Request. And in verse 46, the Bible says, Then came, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And we see we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Now the scene, the picture, as they have come into Jericho, and Jericho must not have been that large of a city. They came into it, and now they're walking out of it. And in this highway, this pathway that people use to traverse between different cities, different places, and they're going from they've gone from one side of Jericho to the other, exiting now, and as was the custom, and as is the custom, if you go to cities again where to larger cities, maybe even in Dallas and even around this area, there's areas, places where people congregate and people that are asking for a handout. And they tend to congregate in a certain place, in a certain area, especially when they know that people are going to be there that do what? That are going to give to them. Then they begin to congregate more and more. But here's a different time, and the need was sure. Bartimaeus was a blind man. And perhaps he sat along the highway with other blind men. In fact, the book of Matthew mentions the same account, and he mentions two men. But here, Mark only mentions one, and he is blind Bartimaeus. But he's sitting by the highway begging, desiring again to receive a gift, desiring to receive from those that are walking in alms to help him, to help meet the needs that he may have physically. And so as he sits there, the Lord Jesus Christ comes by. We begin this morning with the humble attendant. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is a humble attendant. Now, Mark looks at the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. He never gives the record of his birth. He has Christ going from place to place to place to place, serving, working, ministering, and just goes on. 16 chapters Mark has, the shortest of the four Gospels, but he has Christ just moving, going. He has a lot of the same content as the other writers. He's just condensed it. He's just pretty much brought it together and made it shorter. But we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're seeing here what? We see the humanity of Christ. We see his humanity. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was amongst the people. He wasn't like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes that when they saw an individual that was lying on the sidewalk, they didn't go around the other side. They went to the other side. No, the Lord Jesus Christ was among the people, ministering to the needs that they had. But this passage, I believe, shows the humanity of Christ. The humanity. John chapter 1, a very familiar passage to us in John chapter 1 and verse 14. Of course, John chapter 1 tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 14, he says then, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says the Word, God. Why? The Word is God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word created with God. And he became what? He became flesh. And he dwelt among us. He dwelt among man. There was a time when Christ was born, and we read that narrative of the birth of Christ. But he did that for a purpose. He did that for a reason. And he didn't come to be standoffish, to be away from man. He came to be among man, and he was with the multitudes. And he got to see the infirmities again of those that were blind and those that were leprous. And he didn't shy away from them. Sometimes he even touched those that were leprous, didn't he? Here we see in this account where he heals with just a simple word. But there was times when Christ touched the eyes of the blind. There was times when Christ touched again the bodies of those that were leprous. That was unheard of for any man, let alone those that were religious. But the humble attendant, Jesus Christ, he's the incarnate deity. The Bible tells us that he humbled himself. with a desire again for to be our example. The book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, a familiar passage to us. And Paul writes to the church at Philippi and desires for them to care for one another. He desires for them to love one another, to minister to one another. He desires again for individuals to humbly serve one another. And he says in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind of Christ. This is the mind of Christ as he is among men. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A humble attendant, the Lord Jesus Christ is, who came to dwell among men, and he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Who was he? He's God. He's God. And yet he took upon him what? The form of a servant. How hard is it for you and I to take on the form of a servant? Everybody wants to do what? Everybody wants to be the top dog. Everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody wants to be heard. Here's the Son of God, the incarnate deity, who took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Why did he become man? Because that is what the Father desired. And he came to serve the Father, and he desired, he says, okay, if that's what it's going to take, is that what it entails, then that is what I'm willing to do, Father. And he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It wasn't just a simple death. It wasn't just come and just simply just come to earth, be born, and die a natural death. Just simply die a death, maybe an illness or something. No. Even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross, which the Bible says, cursed is he who hangeth what on a tree. Christ was willing to die. He humbled himself. The book of Hebrews chapter 2, a lengthy passage here, the book of Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to look at it here this morning, Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll read parts of it, but it's from 9 through 18. Actually, the whole book of Hebrews speaks of Christ, but we're just for the sake of time, we're looking here at the humble attendant and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's our example, and not only is he our example, but look at what the book of Hebrews chapter 2, begin verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Go down to verse 14 again for the sake of time. He says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Who is that? That is us. That is us. Well, I want you to look at verse 18. He says, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Why did Christ come and suffer? Why did Christ come and suffer? You know why he came to suffer? You know why he took upon him the form of man? Why he was made in the likeness of man? That he might be able to come alongside you. When you are going through a trial, when you are going through a hardship, when you're going through suffering, you say, "Oh, nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what I'm feeling." You want to know one who does? God does. The only one that matters really knows. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going through. You know why? Because he's been there. The Bible says he has been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's a humble attendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see here this account and we look at the miracle which he's going to perform, a great miracle, but don't set aside the fact that here we have the Son of God who was willing to come to dwell among men, to suffer have the feelings that you have and go through the sufferings that you go through, that when you are going through those trials and troubles, you have someone to turn to. There's hope. You're not going through it alone. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Don't we feel sometimes like, "Man, there's nobody there for me. Nobody is there." Well, guess who's there for you? It's the Lord who was willing to come and to live among men. We'll go back to the book of Mark chapter 10 this morning, and we're looking at the divine request, and we're going to get to that divine request here. But I want you to recognize this, that we have a Savior who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He's felt again what you're feeling, and there's nothing that you may go through that would be foreign to him, because he knows. He knows. Verse 47 again, the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse 47. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" First of all, we had the humble attendant. Secondly, we have a divine address. The address again, which the way in which Bartimaeus addresses the Lord shows what? Shows the divinity of Christ. Shows his divine nature, the divine. You see, Christ was all man and he was all God. People will say, "Oh, he was 50-50, 50% man, 50. No. He was all God and he was all man. 100% of each, and as he felt our infirmities, as God, he is able to do what? He's able to help us through those infirmities. But the divine address, and Bartimaeus hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth. That is how people knew him. Here is a son of Mary and Joseph, and he's from Nazareth. It's Jesus of Nazareth. But old blind Bartimaeus, he knew better. He knew who he was. He recognized who he was speaking to. He recognized who he was addressing. It was Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, thou son of David." We call, in our English, we pronounce it Jesus. That is how we pronounce the name of Christ in English, Jesus. That's how it's spelled for us. That's how we've learned to pronounce it. It comes from the Greek, Jesus. It starts with an I. And E-S-O-U-S. But it means Jehovah is salvation. He recognized who he was calling. And it is an address, again, that only the Lord is worthy of. It is only Christ who is worthy, again, of this title. It was he's calling him by the name that of God. Jehovah is salvation. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, as we read of the birth of Christ, if you want to turn there this morning, the book of Matthew chapter 1, as Joseph is considering and thinking about what he's going to do with Mary, because she is with child and they've not yet been married. But the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and with a desire to comfort him and to let him know that what has been conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. And he tells her in verse 20, or tells Joseph in verse 21, the angel does, and says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He's a savior, and he's come to save the people from what? From their sins. From their sins. That is why Christ came. That is why Christ was willing to become a man, to not just feel the feeling of our infirmities, but to die for the sins of the whole world. He says, "Jesus, thou son of David." He addresses Christ as the anointed one. The one who would sit on the throne of David to rule and to reign. He gives a divine address. A divine address, an address that the Lord is worthy of. The only one, again, that is worthy of praise is who? Is God. But Christ is worthy of praise. Why? Because he is God. He is God, and he's worthy of that praise that God receives, because they're one and the same. Go back again to the book of Mark chapter 10. We're going down to the divine request. We have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to see who he is, and realize, as Bartimaeus realized, who it is that he was coming to, who it was that he was making a request to. He wasn't simply making a request to a Pharisee or a scribe, an individual who was limited in what he could do. It's very important, again, for us to recognize, when we come to the Lord, to recognize that we're not coming to just another individual. If you come to me with a request, your request better be limited. It better be limited. If you say, I need some money, it better be just to get a meal. Don't come to me and say, "I need some money to buy a car." I'm going to go say, "See Brother Corey." But when we come to the Lord, we recognize what? Is there anything too big for God? There's nothing that's too big for God. There isn't a request that is too big for him. And yet there is nothing that is too small that it doesn't matter to him either. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad? that God hears and desires to minister to our needs regardless of what it is. There's nothing too big for him, and there's nothing too small that doesn't matter to him. But in verse 49, verse 48, we read where the people again have charged him, recognize people will always, the people don't want to hear praise and glory to God, and that's for another day. But in verse 49, the Bible says, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." We have a humble attendant, we have a divine address, and thirdly, we have the divine attention. You have the attention of the divine. What did he do? He's walking along, and no question there's other beggars. No question there's other people. The multitudes are with him. The disciples are with him. And there's people there asking alms and begging. And all of a sudden, here's blind Bartimaeus, "Thou Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus is walking. All of a sudden, he stops. He simply just stops. And he calls to him. He calls to him and says, he calls him to come to him. And they say, "Get up, he's calling for you. He's calling for you." Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You ever try to get, if you have siblings, you ever try to get the attention of your parents when the other siblings want something too? And this one wants this, and this one wants that, and this one wants that, and you want this, and what happens? Sometimes nobody gets anything. nobody's gonna get the request answered. But here, blind Bartimaeus, this man who's sitting, who's blind, and yet he's come and he's addressed the Lord, and all of a sudden he has the attention, not of the scribes, not of the Pharisees, not of the doctors, but he has the attention of God. He has the attention of God fixed on him. He stands, the world stops. The world just stops. Everything. The world could have been falling apart for Bartimaeus. Everything could have been falling apart around him. The walls of Jericho could have gone down again. But Christ called him. The Son of God just called him and says, "Come here. Come here." His eye is on the sparrow. Huh? But you know what? But you know that he cares for you. If his eye is on the sparrow, you know that he cares for you. Not as a group. Not as a crowd. Not as a multitude of people. He didn't stop for the multitudes. He didn't even stop for the disciples. He stopped for who? For Bartimaeus. Do you think that's kind of special? Do you think that's kind of special that God would simply listen to you? Just simply stop what he's doing? Stop his forward progress and just stand there to listen to what? To call you. You. Come here. Me? You're talking to me? You want me to come? This isn't the only time that Christ has done this. Again, we think of the lady with the issue of blood who come and desired to, who said in herself, "If I would just be able to touch the hem of his garment, if I would just be able to touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed." And she comes and touches him. And what does he do? He stops. And he says, "Who touched me?" Now, he knew who touched him. He knew who touched him. And the disciples say, "Lord, hey, wait a minute. People are thronging you, and everybody's trying to pull and grab, and you're asking, who touched me?" And what does she do? She comes forward. And he wanted to recognize, again, what? Her faith. Wanted to recognize her faith and the fact that it was her faith that had healed her. But the Lord took attention for an individual. And you know, the Lord takes attention on individuals. To the world, you may be nothing. To the world, you may be a nobody. But to the Lord, you're somebody. The Lord cares. You say, "Well, I haven't accomplished much here. I haven't done much. Nobody knows my name." Nobody? God knows your name. He cares for you. Book of Jonah, chapter 2, this prophet who had gone away from the Lord and desired to do his own thing. He didn't want to obey the Lord. He didn't want to go to the Ninevites, because the Ninevites had not treated Israel very well. And he wanted nothing more but for the Ninevites to be destroyed. And so he goes away from God's call. And he wants to do his own thing, but God was going to get him to Nineveh to preach to them. Jonah realized when he was in the belly of the fish, he recognized his sin. And in chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of Jonah, the Bible says, "And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." What are those personal pronouns that he uses? I, me. Who's he speaking about? Himself. His I. His I cried out of the belly. I. And what? And he heard me. He. Or thou. He said, thou heardest me. You know why God doesn't hear you? You want to know why God doesn't hear you? Because you don't ask. You have not because you ask not. The majority of the reason why we do not receive things from God, the majority of the reason is why? You have not because you ask not. The Lord stood still. Everything, nothing else mattered. Isn't that something? Nothing else. When you come to God, nothing else mattered. The story is told of a dad who was with one of his children, and the child asked, "Dad, who's your favorite?" And he said, "You are." And the next day, he's with another child, and Dad, who's your favorite? You are. And so they're all together and they said, "I'm Dad's favorite. Ain't I, Dad?" He said, "You told me the other day that I was your favorite. But he told me just yesterday that," he said, "you're all my favorite. You're all my favorite." The one that's with me at the time is always what? Is always my favorite. We're all God's favorite. As the children of God, we're his favorite. And to think, to realize that what? When we come to God, guess what? It's not the multitude there. It's me and God. It's me and him communing together. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. One-on-one. One-on-one. You say, that's pretty good. But it gets even better. Look at the book of Mark, chapter 10, and we're going to be done here. Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. And it helps if I get to Mark and not John. Mark, chapter 10. In verse 50, he says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. We know the end, right? We know the end. We know what happened. He received his sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. But the divine request or the divine appeal, which is our last point, the divine appeal. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Here's God. Here's the Son of God. Here's the one who is able to do above and beyond what we ask or think. Here's the one who's able to meet every single need that you may have. Physical, spiritual, emotional need that you may have. You can go on and on. Here he is. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He knew what he wanted. He knew it. He knew what blind Bartimaeus needed. He knew what he was going to ask, didn't he? He knew it. Then why would he ask him? Why didn't he just touch him and take care of it? You know why? Because he wanted him to ask. You have not because you ask not. What do you want? What is it that you want, blind Bartimaeus? What is it? What do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? We go through life. We go through life as the children of God. I'm speaking to the believers. We go through life as a child of God